Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. And you know what day it is. It is Monday, and I always tell my guests, except I didn't tell the guests today, but the audience knows you never want to be on my Monday show or my Friday show. I had way too much sleep over the weekend, not enough sleep during the week, so I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say today, as if I ever do. But you know this show is going to be good because we're going to make some new friends, we're going to learn, we're going to take notes. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone in your house, in your neighborhood, in your network who needs to learn this information. Maybe they're an entrepreneur, maybe they're a small business owner, maybe they just need information that is going to better their lives. But they won't get that information unless you share it with them. So go out, wake somebody up, tell a friend, send a text, send a tweet, and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing your friends to the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest, Mr. Earl L. Jones. Earl Jones is an insurance agency owner in Sunnyvale, California. Served his country through the U.S. Army, graduated from Webster University with his master's degree in business management and his undergrad degree from Austin Peay State University in Clarksville, Tennessee. He's from St. Louis, Missouri, and yes, he still cheers for the Cardinals. He's been featured in MoneyGeek.com, U.S. News and World Reports, Insurance Support World, and on the podcast show, Welcome to Humanity. Good morning, Earl. How are you?
Good morning, Sharif. How are you doing?
I'm excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. I told myself I would never go live on Facebook because I can never get my, you know, the foundation to look right, but now I'm doing it. Yes.
You don't have foundation. That's natural. You look wonderful. Don't tell me that.
Girl, I literally just rolled out of bed. I was like, ooh. And then my phone was like, Earl, you have this roundtable show. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, Jesus, take the wheel. Let's just roll with it. Let's go. Yes.
But you stopped for that farmer's shirt.
Girl, I grabbed that first. Yes, I did. I did. So I'm super excited to be on the show and talk with you about whatever comes up, right? Because I think about whatever's going on in the world right now or here in the United States, the role of insurance plays a big part in that. And what a lot of people don't know is how things are transpiring now does have an impact on their insurance, what the insurance companies will do, what they won't do. As coronavirus continues to move across the country, a lot of insurance companies are looking at how do they mitigate and manage that risk. As we also have the environmental impacts, again, managing that risk. Let's take, for example, the wildfires in California right now. We are literally looking at how do we continue to provide insurance in a state that is so heavily impacted by wildfires. And also, even with the impact of COVID-19, we still saw the same amount of money paid out on auto accident claims with less people on the road. And now what we're seeing with people shelter in place, et cetera, when there is an accident, it now spills over into huge lawsuits. So we're seeing a high amount of claims being paid out on umbrella policies. And if people don't know what that is, that's an extra policy that pays when your underlying insurance don't pay. And two places where that's really kicking in the most are car accidents and dog bites. So if you have, yes, dog bites. I know of people that have been sued because their little doggy, who's so friendly, bit the neighbor's kid or bit a guest, and then the guest has a legal right, the parents have a legal right to request for compensation. And so in California, that's not cheap.
That's interesting because so many guests have talked about the emotional needs of individuals during this time frame and how there's been an increase on adoptions and people going out and buying pets because they need them for comfort during this time. But I guess, like you're saying, more pets, more bites.
Correct. Yes. It's okay to have a pet. But just understand that your pet is not going to, you know, like the mailman or like the UPS person. So be responsible, because otherwise you can find yourself in a situation to where the pet can be put down because it bit somebody and it bit the wrong person.
Mm-hmm. Why are you so passionate about insurance?
Whew, girl, I was not ready for that question.
Let me give you a safer question, an easier question. No,
you're good. You're good. It's, you know, I'm very passionate because my grandmother's, who's no longer with me, but my grandmother Alice's house caught on fire and burned, and I watched it burn to the ground. You know, I was in my late 20s, early 30s, you know, an Earl never tells his age, right? Never. And I saw the impact of what happens when there's no insurance or not the right kind of insurance, because I don't have all the details, but what I do know is that that house was not rebuilt, right? So I saw that firsthand. And then I myself, an undergrad, was sued due to a car accident for $100,000. And the funny thing is that I had just went into the insurance agent's office when I was in Austin Peay State University. And I was complaining about my premiums, my rates, because I was like, how can I save some money? And I was begging him to drop my coverage. And he said, Earl, take a few days to think about it, because you got good coverage and, you know, it's Tennessee. So just think about it. Because in Tennessee, the minimum is like $515,000, right? Very little coverage. I got sued for $100,000. That man settled for $40,000, and I had just graduated from college. So if it was not for the fact I had the right auto insurance coverages, I would have had to pay that out of pocket. And getting sued for a car accident, honey, that is like shopping, you know, that's like going shopping and you know every credit card is maxed out and you know you just bounced two checks, but you still need to try to get some food. You know what I'm saying? That is very stressful. So when I had the opportunity to become an insurance agent, it's from those two points of views that I do what I do. So, because I cannot control what the other person's going to do, nor can I control what a claims adjuster is going to choose or approve a claim. But what I can control is how well I write that policy. And then last reason is that even in Santa Rosa and recently right now, where I have seen people have homeowners insurance, and then something happens and they're still fighting with the insurance company to get it, their houses rebuilt. But the reason why they're fighting is because those agents wrote the policy to be cheap so people can buy. And like I tell people, even on my YouTube channel, honey, buying a cheap auto insurance policy is like buying shoes with holes in it. And there's no protection there, zilch. Because the only way for it to be cheap is that you have to cut coverage. That is the only way for it to be cheap. I don't care what you see on TV. That's like a player trying to convince you I'm never going to cheat again, right? No.
So, you are funny, Earl. I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. This lovely young lady has been on the Roundtable Talk Show so many times over the last year, and each time she brings something new. Miss Belle Walker. Belle takes organizations from friction to function by realigning structures and processes with business goals. As the only organizational efficiency engineer she knows, Belle is the perfect resource for leaders looking to recapture lost efficiency and engagement. Belle's approach leverages her engineering background to take a structured approach to organizational design while retaining a focus on the humanity and motivations of the individuals making up the team. Good morning, Belle. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. Sharifa. I know you say that the Monday shows are high energy, and that's exactly why I always join the roundtable on Mondays. I love these shows.
Yes, but it's fun. It's just fun because I think of it all weekend. People don't know this. Like all weekend, I'm thinking about, okay, what can I ask? What can I see? And then I get up in the morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I look at the list of guests and I'm like, oh, this person's going to be on there. I could talk about this. So I kind of do a little bit of advanced planning, but I always enjoy when you're on the show. What have you been up to?
Ooh, all sorts of things. So last time I was here, I talked about the business boot camp for nonprofit leaders, and we have our first class running right now. And that's been going super well. We're very excited. And you can believe that when we've got the dates for the second class, I will be back and announcing those. I also came up with a new way to summarize what I do that I'm pretty excited about, because I've realized that you can view organizations using a really simple model with only three parts. You can think of them as having the goal or the strategy or the thing they need to achieve, the people, the hearts and minds that actually have to achieve it, and then the structures and processes that hold those people together and either lift them up towards that goal or block them from ever getting there. And I focus on those structures and processes.
I want to talk about that, but I want to go back to the boot camp, because when you were on here last time, you were prepping, you were getting ready. And I always ask this because, you know, there's an expression, the best laid plans of mice and men. So how did it turn out? What did you think it was going to be? What were some of the things that you learned? Because I know this was a first step for you.
Yeah, so we're halfway through. So we've done two of the 4 weeks. And so I've got some intermediate lessons learned. One of the things that has really jumped out at me that I was expecting, but still, it's amazing to see when you look at goals and mission, right, that strategy piece, and a lot of for-profit organizations, it's very difficult to get everyone viewing the same objective, strategy, or goal. A lot of times when you really start talking to people, you see some pretty severe misalignment in terms of what people think they're trying to accomplish. When we had our attendees go and interview their team members to see what their top objectives were, that number one objective for all of the organizations was incredibly consistent. Now, number two, three, and four tended to diverge a little bit. And so there's definitely still work to be done to get people all rowing in the same direction. But it was really inspiring to see how deeply the organizations had taken those missions to heart and how they were all really on the same page about their number one priorities as nonprofit organizations.
Were you able to get the nonprofit organizations to view their structure from a more business perspective, a more structured perspective, I guess?
Yeah, the week that I'm leading is, I would describe the work that I do generally and that sort of systems and structures piece often as being leadership and management 201 or maybe 401. For this business bootcamp, we're really focusing on 101, right? Making sure that we're covering the need for positive reinforcement, how to give effective, constructive feedback, making sure that you're listening and aligning, building trust, sort of laying the foundation. Because if you don't have strong trust among your team, you can do all that systems and structures work you want. It's not going to make much of a difference in terms of your ability to execute. And that doesn't matter if you're for-profit or nonprofit. The trust is fundamental. But I have heard from several of the attendees that these business concepts are at least as valuable for them as nonprofits, because they're often so resource constrained, right? When you're talking about being more efficient and more effective, you need to make sure that the team members and the staff are valued, are treated at least as well as your constituents are treated. Because if you don't have that consistency, you're going to drop off how you're supporting your constituents, and no one wants that.
No one wants that. Right, Bill? I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. This lovely young lady is joining us today on the show for her first time, Ms. Deanna Laster. She is a native Houstonian with an extensive background in personal development, project management, education, and technology. She started her professional career in information technology and progressed into business consulting, making her mark as a proven leader implementing and managing technology portfolios of global distributed teams that deliver strategic business value for Fortune 500 clients. With more than 20 years of consulting experience leading key multi-million dollar projects in several industries, including energy, travel, and health and beauty, she has become a highly sought after consultant and speaker. Good morning, Deanna. How are you?
Good morning. Wow, that sounds important.
Everyone says that. They're like, who are are you introducing? I'm like, I just read what you send me. That's whatever you send me, that's what I read.
That's the whole bio. Thank you. Well, thank you for having me and thank you for reading the extended bio. And I am very excited to be here. Good morning, Sharifa, and good morning, my fellow co-panelists.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining us. I know that was a lot of information. That's why I like to give it to the audience. And then you tell us what you are most passionate about.
Okay. So good morning, everyone. I'm most passionate about everything that you just mentioned. I am from Houston, a consultant in IT for Fortune 500 companies for the last 20 years since I was 2 years old. So started off in the big four at the time, technology consultant with Arthur Anderson prior to Enron, and just kind of progressed my way from development into business consulting. And so, Belle, very similar to what you do, I actually coach Fortune 500, the IT enterprises of those companies on how to help them support their digital transformation. So a lot of times companies, Earl, as you mentioned, companies can't do business with their customers the same way that they could prior to COVID, but it's imperative on them to have easy ways for the companies to do business and service their customers in this new time. So in order to do that on the back end, it takes the business and the goals of the functions of a company to say, this is how we want to change how we do business with our customers. Digitally, more efficiency to improve operations, and of course, impact that P&L. And then you have the technology side of the house that says, all right, it takes these things, these systems, and these applications to be enabled to do that. That common understanding of how to change the customer's experience is where I come in. So I come in and I help the business mind with the capabilities and the things that they want to unlock to drive value, to help bridge that gap, to take the technology and say, these are the systems, this is the way we want to do it, through a scaled agile approach. If any of you have heard of agile, project management, portfolio management, program management, that's what I do. So I run a program right now. It's a over $100 million program for a Fortune 500 company. And I am taking their experience of how they want to do business different with their customer to be a disruptor or to maintain their disruption in the areas in which they are competitive, and figure out how to take over 20 delivery teams to understand those business needs, transfer them into a roadmap, and come up with a quick, efficient way to coerce and, you know, to rally in the cats, to herd the cats, as we say sometimes, in order to scale the teams in order to deliver. So that's what I do. I love it. A lot of it is around creating a common understanding, just what you mentioned, Belle, lots of governance, lots of processes, pulling from frameworks, understanding the industry, understanding key points in order to drive value. And then how do we check the box and raise a thermometer on, you know, 100% achievement along the way. So I do all of that. I'm a girl geek.
we a lot of girl geeks. I think all the girls on this call are girl geeks, because I'm listening to you talk and I'm going back down memory lane. And one of the things that people tell me is I have such a diverse skill set. But when I first learned to network computers and do more in IT, I was actually a customer service supervisor. And the president of the company called this IT company to come in and network the computers. The guy networking them, he did one computer. My boss fired the guy. And I'm like, why are you firing this guy? Who is going to do this? He was like, you. And I'm like, what do you mean me? He was like, well, didn't you watch him? Didn't you look? Didn't you see what he did? I'm like, yeah, but he gets like 100 an hour and I get like 15, you know, but I wound up networking all these computers and ITs and servers, so many different things, but it wasn't a very female dominated industry. Have you found that to be true, Deanna?
Yes, I am usually. So the industries that I work for in technology have been oil and gas, of course, being from Houston. also transportation, the airline industry. And I also had a salon and day spa that I owned for 12 years, but I enabled the technology and the automation for it. So technology has been woven in. I have definitely been a minority in both race and gender in most of my field. So when I walk into some of the clients and I walk in with my team, you know, they may be ready to address a certain leader, but you know, it's me that has onboarded the team and has brought the staff and helping to transform and understand the client's perspectives. I also think that diversity, not just from gender and race, just from an optics perspective, has been very, very key culturally, also speaking with distributed teams and understanding different mindsets and different perspectives that it brings to the diversity of a team with different minds of thought. So I've been very, very fortunate to lead teams globally from a distributed model perspective to deliver on capabilities for my clients and definitely having that girl power in order to deliver on that. I actually love it. I think it creates a mindset. And also one other thing, it helps me to set a precedence for other girls that may be looking at pursuing not just STEM. So STEM, I think, has become a cliche. We want children and, you know, of all races and backgrounds to pursue technology and pursue, you know, engineering and math, but how we apply it and where we put that into our careers in order to be trailblazers and drivers in our profession is extremely important. So me exhibiting that from a day-to-day perspective, I think is very valuable and important to me.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I am going to come back to you, Deanna, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Jason Gelias. Jason is an award-winning, top-producing realtor, author with Community Choice Realty in Southeast Michigan. He is author of the real estate book, Think Like a Realtor, a little book about buying and selling residential real estate through the eyes of a realtor. Creator of the Ask Jason Gelias Real Estate Show, Jason educates aspiring home buyers, sellers, and existing homeowners tips and real-world knowledge to help achieve their real estate goals. Jason is also a local speaker educating home buyers on the process of purchasing a home. And Jason is one of the Roundtable Talk Show's top fans. He tunes in to just about every show and leaves his comments, so we definitely appreciate his support. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Morning, Sharifa and everybody. How's everyone doing? Good?
Yes, I'm excited to have you here. We finally get to talk.
Yeah, and you know, it's so weird being on the show now because I've seen so many of your former episodes. I'm like, wow, okay, you know, I'm actually talking to you. So
I'm actually talking to you.
Yes, well, please, pleasure's on mine. But I love what you do with the show because it's, you know, you're putting out value and you have multiple guests that have multiple viewpoints and advice from all kinds of different industries. And so when I had this opportunity to be on, I'm like, of course. So extremely exciting. It has been a roller coaster start of this year. I know the beginning of the show prior to coming on, we were talking about, like, you know, Earl was saying how we can't do business the same way that we did prior to the pandemic. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of professionals kind of stuck. They've been kind of like, well, you know, we're just going to ride this out. And I mean, that's really unfortunate. So I love the thought process of, you know, going out, doing business differently. Obviously, it's more virtual, right? We're seeing a lot more things online, which I love, quite frankly, because I was pushing video marketing for brands, not so much professionally, but just telling people that I know, hey, you should be doing video. You know, for example, Earl does insurance. He could offer tips through a weekly show of his own. And if you already have that, I'm sorry. Yeah, apologize, but I'll definitely follow you after today. But, you know, anybody can actually share their advice. And one of the biggest drivers, actually prior to the pandemic, was I started the Ask Jason Gelias Show because, one, I had a lot of mostly home buyers, but I had home buyers, home sellers, and even homeowners asking me questions. And while I love the direct contact, when you put it on video and you brand it every week, it really helps, because people can go through and look at that and they can see the title and say, okay, you know what? That actually relates to me. So I need to watch that now. And it's throwing out value. And I've actually been fortunate enough, actually, quite honestly, I've had a huge press push, I guess. It's been a snowball effect where I've been featured in major media articles, which is awesome, because I can then share more valuable information and expertise out across the country versus just in my area. And you know, that's been really fun. So really happy to be here, really happy to kind of engage with the other guests and you know, learn something. Because there is a saying out there, I'm sure everybody's heard this, that if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And so I think I'm in the right room today. So I'm very excited about this.
You are definitely in the right room. Now I want to go back to your podcast, because when you were talking and you were saying, you know, Earl, get you a podcast. Whoever doesn't have a podcast, that's the end thing. That shows you as an expert. But how do you get past the imposter syndrome?
That's an excellent question.
Thank you. I try.
You know, actually, I'm asked that often by my fellow agents. You know, they're like, you know, I fear video, or maybe I'm not good enough, or, you know, I'm not as successful as, you know, the agents on $1 million listing and all that. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter, because one, video builds trust, because people get to feel how you are. When I joined this show, I felt like I already knew you, Sharif. I kind of did a little bit, not to sound creepy, but I was just like, okay, you know, hi, how you doing? And it was a natural welcome. So people should get over that and say, you know what, I have a lot of information to share. And so that's one. And then two, many people get hung up on how they look on video. Now, I'm going to admit something to you on the Sharif Ahari show here, is I don't like how I am on video. I don't. You know, matter of fact, my wife will joke. She's like, oh, you want to do a video? Because sometimes I do on-the-go rant videos about a topic or whatnot, or just something that I'm doing. And, you know, she'll kind of tease me. And I'm like, well, no, it's, you know, people want value. And so think about this. On a hyper-local effort, I've had clients that were referred to me, and then maybe some other, right? They go on Facebook and they're like, does anybody know a realtor? And all these names pop up. One of my past clients was saying, hey, call Jason. He does video. And that person knew me before I even met them, got the phone call, went out and listed the property. There was no competition. And it was because that particular person liked the value that I was putting out. And it wasn't a spam thing. It was just, hey, you know, here's some tips on buying homes, selling homes and things like that, and what to look out for. So I think, you know, prior to the pandemic, people were nervous about video. They were like, I don't know, or, you know, I've been doing my business this way or that way for 30 years, 40 years. But now many of them are finding out that they have to jump in, or they're going to probably go out of business. And it's really a harsh reality, but that's the way things are going. I mean, everybody has a book inside of them that they should release, everybody. And then two, people should have their own outlet, their own channel, whether it's on YouTube or Facebook, should have your own channel where you share what you're doing and a little bit personal information as well. Like, you know, a photo or a video of your dogs or something like that. But everybody should be broadcasting on social media a little bit about what they do, and they're providing value. So that's pretty much what I've been up to.
So that's how you get past imposter syndrome. The information that you have to share is worth doing it, because you mentioned not wanting to watch your video, not wanting to watch. I tell people all the time, I never watch my shows. I never listen to my shows. And they're like, why? You can improve. It can help me. I'm like, because I don't like the sound of my voice. I don't tell people that. Like, my voice is so annoying, you know? So it's like, I don't want to watch the shows. But the information and the conversation is so important that I want to have that talk. So I want to go over to Earl. Jason says, get you a podcast. Do you have a podcast, Earl?
Well, Jason, it's, you know what? Dear God, I'm picking up what you're putting down, universe. Because I do have a YouTube channel, right? And I do, and before the pandemic, I was trying to be consistent recording videos about various topics on insurance. And then I would go back and I would look and I would see, well, only 11 people watched this video. Well, 56 people watched that video. And Sharifa, I was also reaching out to people that I knew in the community and asking them to be on the Earl Jones Show. And then I just was getting so discouraged. But then lately, the universe is going, Earl, these are things that you know that work, so consistently do them. And it's funny because my last video on my YouTube channel, I shared a story about a woman who wind up having to sell $2.4 million worth of real estate in order to pay for a car accident claim involving one of her children.
Oh, now, wow.
Now, mind you, I'm just like Law and Order. My stories are based upon, you know, real life current events, and similarities, you know, are just a co-winky dink, right?
Ripped from the headlines.
Yes, ripped from the headlines. Yes, indeed. But it's really interesting that we're talking about this because, you know, it's like, okay, I get it. Which goes back to what Deanna said. It's like, and what you were saying, Sharifa, I hate my voice. I'm like, I'm super extra special, right? You know? And then it's like, I'm the minority. Like, how many African-Americans do we see, you know, do, you know, when I go into a room sometimes, it's like, everybody's looking for this. I was literally told, like, I thought you were gonna be some fat white guy. And I was like, baby, I am 6'5 and barely 215 pounds wet.
Like, what you said, it was interesting is, first of all, you have personality, and that's what people want. And people will gravitate to someone if they have personality and if they have information. Both you have. So I would definitely say do a podcast. But in addition, I always share this story. I started my very first show as Sharifa Radio in 2009. And I only started it then because I was doing marketing and I was already doing website design. And I took myself to the Los Angeles Convention Center and I was like, I'm gonna get some new clients and I'm get all this business because I'm gonna design the websites. And the people literally scoffed. I like that word, scoffed at me. They laughed. They were like, do you have a booth? And I was like, no, I don't have a booth, but I can do this. And they were just like, little girl, go away. We don't want to talk to you. And I was like, okay. And I always had all these people who would call and ask Sharifa, ask Sharifa, ask Sharifa. And I said, you know what? I'm going to answer these questions on a radio show. And then, you know, I'll be media. So I went back, like, because maybe in the next year, LA Convention Center, walked around, started talking to people, telling them, oh, I'm a host as Sharifa Radio. And not only did they want to be a guest, they would be like, oh, well, go to that booth and talk to Sue, because Sue needs to be on your show. And I go to Sue's booth. Sue, Belle told me to talk to you because she said you need, I walked out with like booked for a long time, but the very first show that I did, this is my whole point of this long-winded story. No one showed up. And my little feelings were hurt because I only had like one person who watched the show. But after years and years and years, if you go back to my very first show, it has thousands of listens because the majority of the time people listen in the archives and our feelings get hurt when we do a show and then we come back like a day later and it's like, I got 2 views. Keep going. And 2 years later, you're going to come back to that show and be like, oh my God, it has 200,000 views. That's my advice for you, Earl.
Yes, ma'am. I bow to your wisdom.
That's just my suggestion. You can take it. You can leave it. You can do whatever you want.
I'm totally going to take it. You know, I'm going to take it, right? Because one of the things I've been doing in the pandemic and since my father died, you know, I've been meditating now for 32 days straight. And these little tidbits are coming, you know, because in the meditation, I'm like, okay, I want to create a life of opulence. Like, I really want to make sure that my family has a legacy. So what do I need to do? Who do I need to be in order to do that? And these little things, I'm starting to notice, like these little bits, I'm like, okay. So when Jason said, I was like, let me share the fact that I'm on this show right now. Let me start posting this to all my social media. And I'm like, okay.
All right. That's good. That means that you need to move forward, and the meditation is good. But I don't know if you do this or not, but I had a lady teach me, like I did a session on meditation, and everybody has these meditation videos and everything. But one little tip and trick that she told me, she said, Sharifa, go to the store and get you a sleep mask. I was like, a what? She was like, a sleep mask. One of those little masks that all the rich women wear in the movies. You know what I mean? Like, okay. And I started using it for my meditation, and all of a sudden everything was crystal clear. So that, I'm trying to help you out, Earl. That might work. It might not, but it has worked for me. Deanna, I want to go over to you. You have personality. You have knowledge. Any podcast in your future?
Yeah, I'm starting with being a guest on yours. So, yeah, so for me, with the pandemic, I've had to adjust the way I connect with people, because I'm a people person and I like to be in the room with people. I like to connect with my clients face to face. And so just shifting it, just like everyone else has had to, to still have that connection, but virtually. I actually traveled to South Africa in 2019, studying abroad with Howard University, so HU. studying abroad, and connected with some girls in Johannesburg. So I adopted a home of some girls in Johannesburg and helping them with their technology. So helping them to enable their technology around meeting and connecting globally with women such as myself around the world, so that we can coach and share and learn from each other. So I started with a online workshop and working with those young ladies, and it was more for them, but it turned out to be much more for me. And it was about leadership, and it was about accountability and how to get over those hurdles of what you need to do to accomplish your goals. So I started with online workshops, podcasts. I like watching them and I like attending them. But as far as hosting one myself, I'm very, very interested in sharing knowledge from a digital perspective through eBooks, through online workshops and attending podcasts. So later down the line for me, but I think technology overall plays a very important part. I did want to say this on the mindfulness and things like that. You'll see a lot of companies, if you think about Calm, there's an app called Calm, or if you guys have seen the commercial and it has a little, you know, it goes around and it has the rain and it has so things that make us pause to be mindful of our decisions are huge as we do all these Zoom and Teams meetings. And so as a program manager that manages distributed teams, even as you guys and working with your clients, and Earl and Jason, as you mentioned, having your video on, showing up, being present, delivering yourself at the best way that you know how, given this virtual time, is so important. And even those of us that have been leaders and doing this for years, we have to learn how to reconnect. And so I think it's really, really important to do so and have some mindfulness and balance in how we work. So digital is good. It's been my world, but learning how to reinvent myself to connect digitally is good. Podcasts are one way, but I like being a participant so far. To answer your question, Sharifa.
Thank you. Now, Greg Scott in our audience made a post. He said, tech is too male dominated. He said, kudos to you, Deanna. You guys might enjoy this short story. Then he posted a link to a short story that I haven't read nor viewed yet. But he wanted to say kudos to you, Deanna. So I wanted to go ahead and share that message.
Thank you.
I want to go over to Belle. Belle, I don't know if we've ever discussed. Do you have a podcast?
I do not have a podcast. I very much am in a similar boat to Deanna, where I love guesting on podcasts, but I'm lazy. I have no interest in doing the editing, the posting, because there are so many amazing hosts and hostesses out in the world right now. I can piggyback, right? And so one of the things I do need to do is get a better collection of where I've guested, to make that available. I do want to get out there, get my voice out. But I really enjoy how every conversation, I think I can get a very similar experience to hosting, where you get all those different voices and guests and get to have those different conversations by being the guest, right? And seeing what gets drawn out in all these different contexts. So I've been really enjoying that. But I do weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific time, I'm on the steering committee for a community called Inclusive Leadership in a Virtual World. And so we host 10 to 11-ish, usually it spills over a little bit, Pacific time. We host a very engaging virtual event. So we have all different speakers, all different topics who facilitate a very interactive, dynamic discussion. What's consistent is that we ask them to use best practices in how they run the session. So the topic is at their discretion, but we really emphasize, you know, using the breakout rooms, using the different tool, we're in Zoom, so using different tools that Zoom has available to get voices from across the attendees out and loud throughout the session.
Wow. But if you haven't noticed, Bill, the roundtable talk show is the lazy way to do a talk show. You just invite everybody, do absolutely no editing and say, look, we'll figure out what we'll talk about when we get there. Like, there's absolutely no planning that goes into this show.
But that's discounting, I think, to some extent, the skill that you bring as a facilitator, mm-hmm. right? Because I remember the first time I was on this show, my sister tuned in. She actually tunes into your show all the time now because of that.
Thank you. What's your sister's name?
Rose Coven.
Hi, Rose Coven. I just wanted to do that little shout out. Go ahead.
Yay. Oh, she'll be so excited. So she was messaging me afterwards and she was like, oh my goodness, so many of these facilitators on network television and cable make it look so hard and Sharifa has it down. So I think that's, there's more to it than just the technical back end.
Thank you. I appreciate that. People always say I'm a good host, you know, and I receive that. I'm humble, but I just tell people the truth is I'm just nosy as hell. Like, if that's what makes me, like, I want to know. I want to be like, what's going on in your world? Jason, talk to us. Tell us, what's the life of a realtor? And then Jason has the opportunity to tell us. Yes. What's the best part of your job, Jason?
Mine?
Yes.
Okay, so probably every agent says this, but for me, it's actually true. is when my home buyers, like I predominantly work with first time home buyers. Mm-hmm. And when you find the one, right, it's like love. They, you know, we walk through the house and they're like, this is the one. Did you see that light fixture? Did you see this? This is the one. And they get all giddy. And then when their offer is accepted and we move forward, it's very exciting because when we go back to the house for the inspection, you know, we're typically there for 2-3 hours and they're like, okay, we can put the couch here and we can put the TV over there and the baby's room. That's extremely rewarding. And then I would say probably my second favorite is, you know, I'm a little ADD, which I take that as a compliment. And so real estate has you moving all over the place. And I love that because, I could not sit in a cubicle all day. I'd be pulling out what's left of my hair. I'd be just, you know, going nuts. And so I get to go all over the place, different areas, different types of homes, and have a huge, huge, diverse client base. I mean, I love it, you know? So those are really the two major things. And, you know, of course it pays pretty good. But that's through hard work because you have to really work hard at this business to make the money. Mm-hmm. There's so much competition. There's so many people that just discount themselves, which is not a good thing. And you know, too, I don't know if I can kind of touch a little bit. Earl had said something about as far as doing video about getting discouraged. One of the things that I've learned, and actually I've done this myself, is you will have more views on your videos than you think. And it's amazing because I would go to family events and they'd be like, hey, I saw your video on this and that. I'm like, really? Because I didn't see you like or comment or anything.
Right, exactly.
It's like, we need to have a conversation. Okay, because, you know, you say you like me at this barbecue, but, you know.
Jason, I thought I was the only one in the world who does that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you put all this effort, you do this show, and no one turns up, there are no comments, and then all of a sudden somebody, I'll be on the phone with somebody and they'll say something and they'll be like, yeah. And then when you were talking to Jason Jellius about real estate, I'd be like, okay, you didn't even comment and say you were watching, but people, girl, this is a lesson. They do watch. People do watch.
I know they watch. I see the views, right? But this goes back to what I was saying initially on the show. It's like I have that competitive drive, and I've learned that I've gotten so attached to the results that when I don't see the results, then I stop. And the opportunity for growth and development for me is in learning to let go and just stay focused on, just like when I'm driving down to Palm Springs, you know, I don't, you know, I'm like, I run into traffic. Okay, great. I throw in some Toni Braxton and I'm doing my thing.
Right? right.
But Earl, you were talking it before the show started, right? We didn't really get into this, but you are incredibly impressive and accomplished. You've been the first to do many things in your family. And I'm guessing that you have really been able to zero in on where your strengths shine. And, you know, it can be intimidating and daunting then to try something new when you had this history of success and it takes that work to build up.
I love you. Because that is so true. I'm so used to, you know, succeeding, and I'm so used to it. But we can, that's a different show for a different topic for a different day, because, you know, I've discovered the age of that conversation, right? And I've also discovered that a lot of it comes from the fact of where I grew up in St. Louis. I mean, I grew up in the city of St. Louis, like on the north side, Goodfellow and Terry. I have seen people break into my mama's car while standing in the door, and they look at
you, wow,
like, what you gonna do?
Wow.
Right? As a kid, like, I've seen grown people fight and smash their heads into windshields. Right? And you just sit on the front porch and you drink your orange vest soda and eat Chinese food.
Oh, one thing about the, so one thing just to kind of piggyback about the pandemic is not, you know, it's nothing that we would, any of us would hope for or wish for, but if we find our, if we find our space and our footprint and an opportunity to expand, you know, the things that we stand for and the things that we believe in, you know, we can reach the world. It's global. So Earl, you know, I say this to you and to myself at the same time, you know, those of us that have personality and you know, are passionate about it and want to put it forward, I think the platform in order to do so during this time of the world figuring out what the world needs to do, you know, I think it behooves us to find, I see podcasts written all over, you know, to me, just in listening to you. For me, I see it in an opportunity to reach to global clients. You may be to reach to educate people globally on, you know, what you mentioned around the statistics are key. I didn't think about that, but when I do drive, I see so many car accidents now, and it is fewer people on the road. I see, I didn't think about when you mentioned around insurance prices going up around just dog bites. And so the message and the value in what you just said, just for me as a consumer, I would think nothing of what you said, because I'm so tuned into what I'm tuned into. So I think you have a voice. I think it's needed. I think that beyond California, I think beyond the US, I think there is a platform. And so I just wanted to say that. And so I'm always the girl geek. Technology connects that.
And that's a show. That was a show.
Deanna, are you going to be a guest on the Earl Jones Show?
Actually, all of you can be guests on the Earl Jones Show.
Okay, I'm gonna be a guest. Sign me up, because we have proof right now on the Roundtable Talk Show that when you think no one is listening and no one is watching, they actually are. Jason, I don't know who Dawn Leaf is. Maybe you know Dawn Leaf, but Dawn Leaf wants you to know. She says, Jason, I'm listening, I'm watching.
Thanks, Dawn. I appreciate it. Yeah, she's actually a great friend of our family. So very blessed that, you know, she watches what I do. So, no, I think, you know, long-term, for all of you, long-term video for your brand and your information will position you in your local market area. You are going to blow past everybody else. And, you know, I've been doing video for probably a couple of years. And I can tell you that when you start to like break through, like actually, have you ever seen Horton Hears a Who?
Who?
Yes. One of my favorites.
Horton Hears a Who. I love those movies, by the way. Girl. Okay. You have to watch that show tonight. But Horton Hears a Who, right? This is going to be a spoiler for Earl. I'm sorry. I have to, Earl. I'm sorry. It's a spoiler. But
just to make the point.
Right. They're all tiny. And Horton is an elephant, right? When they're trying to break through and they're making all this noise and then they finally break through, that's how video is you do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Even if nobody watches it, which is impossible, but knock on wood, but you break through, next thing you know, you're going to get the attention of people. Now, short term, okay, if you're up against another insurance agent down the street, you can say, hey, you know, Earl does video, helpful videos. And then they see your clip. And I'll share with you this too, is I'd rather have somebody see a video of mine and not choose to work with me versus we meet and then I wasted time and they're like, I don't like this guy. That will happen out there, unfortunately.
Not everyone likes you, Jason?
No, it's hard to believe.
If I buy property in Michigan, I'm calling you.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we'll go out to the pub.
Yes. But
it's true. It's just, you know, if you stick with video, you're going to propel across your own local market because many people fear video and you should really use that to your advantage.
Absolutely. And not only that, one of the things that you can do, Earl, this is some gold. That's why I love doing the show. You have people who can change your life today, and that's what's going to happen with Earl. So I'm telling you, I'm waiting for that invitation to come in my email to be a guest on the Earl Jones Show. But use piggybacking, especially since you're in the insurance industry. I'm pretty sure there are so many different things in the media already that the media is talking about that you can piggyback on and do a video about. Maybe there's a huge celebrity that didn't have insurance or their insurance policy had just ended and everybody's talking about it. You can do a video and attach that celebrity and comment on it. Another reason that's very good is that you always want to have an outlet or a platform to discuss your thoughts. Maybe there's a new change in the insurance agency. Maybe you said it was a certain amount in California right now. Maybe tomorrow Newsom decides or whoever the powers that be decide that you have to have $50,000 in coverage now. Don't you want to be the first to break that news and talk about it and talk about how this affects you and what you can do? People always go to the experts so that they can find out what's going on in the world. And that's why people tune in to the Roundtable Talk Show to learn from all of you. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Belle.
All right. Well, I think the takeaways from today are so much bigger than me individually, right? There's some really inspiring guests. We've got all of the video out into the world. And I loved what Jason was saying about, you know, just keep pushing through, because I think you can replace the word video with anything. And that's going to be strong, solid advice. So from my perspective, if you feel like your organization has friction and you want to change that to function, give me a call. And if I'm not the right fit, I'll find you who is.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bill. Always love when you're here. Jason, what do you have for us?
First off, thank you for having me again. And if anybody's watching this show or listening to this show and maybe they came across it and they didn't hit follow, subscribe, or like, do that first. And then after that, visit everybody's websites, information, all the guests on this show. Now we'll get to me. So, I invite everybody to connect with me at my website. It's allabouttherealestate.com. Follow me on social media. All those links are on my page. They're on almost every single page. And also, I'm going to do a shameless promotion of my book. If you get a chance, go on Amazon and pick up Think Like a Realtor. It's half real world advice and half tips and helpful advice. But otherwise, I really appreciate all the other guests. Definitely connect with me and I'll connect with you back. And I'm going to be keeping my eyes open for the Earl Jones show. I would love to be on that show for sure.
Oh, trust me. That's happening.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Deanna, what do you have for us?
Yes. So thank you again, Sharifa, for having me on. And I'm honored to have really been, even the preview before we went live to meet all the co-panelists. I definitely want to stay in touch. For me, I'd like to leave this is that I deem myself as a thought leader around digital transformation and technology. I am a person that has helped Fortune 500 companies in specific industries transform the way in which they do business. So if you work in a large technology enterprise or even own a small to medium-sized company and you're figuring out, well, how do I do what I do to service my customers better? How do I streamline it? How do I make myself more efficient and work smarter and not harder in my team? How do we automate some of our process as well? I am a consultant that can work with you to understand your vision and figure out a technology roadmap in order to get you there. My website is deannamichelle.com. So it's deannamichel.com. And you'll see on my website that there is a little column that's called Sisters in Bloom. So philanthropic efforts and initiatives around women of color in technology is extremely important to me. And I am very passionate about pushing that forward in empowering and helping girls around the world to be technology leaders. So thank you for having me. And I'm really excited about being on the Earl Jones show, and I'm sure he's going to talk next.
So. You're so welcome. We all came on this show just so we could get on the Earl Jones show. That was the plan. That was the plot. Earl, what do you have for us?
Well, Sharifa, first thing, let me just say this. I want to acknowledge you and all that you have been through, dealt with, accomplished, put up with, not cussed a person out, the whole nine yards to create this beautiful platform. Just, you know, I just want you to get that you've made an impact over here. And I'm going to assume you've made an impact with these three smart, amazing people that I'm like, oh my God, I'm in the room of gods, right? And then the people that are watching. So I really want you to get the contribution at that level of life altering, changing, right? Because you said things today that I'm just like going, the only way that you knew that is like, you just proved to me that once again, that there is somebody bigger than me, right? Because you, like this just naturally came. And so I just want to acknowledge you for that. The second thing that I want to say is this, is like being in the presence of these three, I'm like going, okay, I need to step up my game, right? Like I get to transform who I get to be so that when I'm in the presence of great minds and great people and people that have overcame, because we don't know their whole story. And I can tell from the time that I'm with them that they have overcame, you know, a lot as well. So I want to acknowledge the three of you. And then the last thing is this, that, you know, regardless of where you're at in life, the one thing that has been consistent, the message throughout this whole hour is to push through, right? I'm reminded faith is the size of mustard seed can move mountains. And so you really brought me back to my definition of how I connect to the eternal. And so I'm really, really just honored and just, I'm like, oh, I'm just like, oh my God. I'm gonna look back on this moment and be like, you know what, God, like you really are truly powerful because, you know, just like you got Paul to become a disciple, you know, on the road to Damascus, you've now, you know, communicated to me through four individuals who don't know a thing about me. So, you know,
that's beautiful. It is so beautiful. I mean, I hear it. I definitely agree. I always say the same thing. That's one of my favorites. I post on social media all the time. Faith the size of a mustard seed will move mountains. If you have that faith, you can say to the mountain, move, and the mountain shall move. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're having some church up in here today. I want to thank you all for being guests on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who watches it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. You are so important to me. I appreciate you for tuning in. I appreciate you for sharing the show. But as always, please don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Visit their websites. They were here this morning to provide you with so much information, to share their stories, and to be of service to you. So support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post, but also when you go to their websites, follow them on social media, send them a message, send them a tweet, send them an inbox. And when you do, when you reach out to them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.